You're listening to The Mark White Show.
That's a good how do you do.
The summer is heating up. Have your next backyard celebration with TNT Fireworks. TNTFireworks.com. Have safe family fun with TNT Fireworks.
There are moments in life you wish you could capture forever. Alabama the Beautiful is a new online magazine that preserves images from sweet home Alabama. Yours anytime, online, every month. Where the eye captures the moment, and it really does last forever.
Be sure to check out AlabamaTheBeautifulMagazine.com.
With six convenient locations to serve you, Bankston Motorhomes is your local RV dealer. They have some of the top brand name RVs for sale at incredible prices. Whether you are looking for an awesome RV for a long-term road trip or a smaller or more lightweight RV for the occasional weekend getaway, Bankston Motorhomes is here to provide you with some outstanding options and deals that you just won't find anywhere else. For more information, go to BankstonMotorhomes.com or visit one of their six convenient locations in Huntsville, Florence, Warrior, Albertville, and Ardmore in Nashville, Tennessee. That's Bankston Motorhomes.
North Alabama is full of adventure. If you love food, we've got it. If you love festivals, we've got them. If you love the outdoors, we've got plenty of places to explore. Whatever you love, we're sure to have something for you. For all things North Alabama, check out northalabama.org.
Now, with tomatoes and other fresh produce, J. Calvert Farms in Coleman, Alabama is ready to serve you. Located at 30 County Road 260, Coleman, Alabama, you can go to their website at jcalvertfarms.com and follow them on Facebook and Instagram at J. Calvert Farms. Give them a call at 256-636-2752. That's J. Calvert Farms in Coleman, Alabama.
Hey everybody, this is Daryl Worley, and you're listening to The Mark White Show. Hey, step up and make a difference like he does.
Hey y'all, this is Jeff Foxworthy, and you, yeah, you can make a huge difference in somebody's life. You just may not have figured out how yet, and that's why you're listening to The Mark White Show.
Hi, this is Maggie Peterson. I played Charlene Darling on The Andy Griffith Show, and you are listening to The Mark White Show.
Hi, folks. This is Ricky Skaggs, and you're listening to The Mark White Show.
Hello, I'm Gene Stallings, and this is The Mark White Show. Get off the sideline and get involved and make a difference in your community.
You are listening to The Mark White Show. My daddy is your host, Mark White.
Welcome to another edition of The Mark White Show. I'm glad that you can be with us. If you'll ignore my voice, I apologize, but I have a virus and it is taking its little bit of a toll on me right now, but I'm very glad to have Tara Ross on the line with me, and she knows what she's going to say a lot of times, so she can fill in the gaps, and I won't have to talk as much as hopefully she'll be able to pick up that conversation and keep going with it. Welcome back to The Mark White Show, Tara Ross.
Thanks so much for having me back.
Always glad to have you, Tara, and I appreciate your historical perspective. I appreciate what you do on a daily basis to bring history to the forefront for people who want to learn, who want to understand our history. And we talk about the knowledge that we can have about history that can lead us to, I believe, better lives when we understand how our country was founded, how people sacrificed and served for the independence and freedom that we do live with here in this country today.
But the truth of the matter is that America has always been striving for more and more and more freedom. And what the founders did when they started this country was revolutionary in so many ways. I mean, they lived in a time where the king could tell you where to go to church, you know? I mean, women were treated badly. Yes, there were slaves. But people were not self-governing. People did not have a lot of direction over their own lives, because at the end of the day, the king could be a tyrant if he really wanted to. And they were, what they did when they started this country, like, we take it for granted, but it was such a big thing to do, to look the king, you know, not in the eye because he was across the ocean, but to figuratively look him in the eye and say, no, we're not going to go there. We're not going to do this anymore. And they took the first step. I mean, the way I look at it is that the fight for freedom in America has been like a relay race. And our founding generation, they fought the first leg, or they ran the first leg of that relay race, and then they pass the baton to the next generation. And every generation has made more steps, has gone further, and has improved life more for the next generation. And it's, there's so much to be proud of when you put our history into context and you really take time to learn it and to know it and to understand what happened. And, you know, I think what's sad for me right now is it feels like this is the first time in our more than 200-year history where we seem to be going backwards a little bit. Like, people don't understand where we came from. They don't understand how much they have to be proud of. They don't understand how much we have to fight for here. And, you know, it worries me. It worries me a lot. And so I think to the degree that we're going to turn it around and get ourselves going back in the right direction again, learning our history is a critical component of that.
And Tara, one of the things that I have involved myself with are organizations that support our veterans dating back to World War II, those who are still around. And recently, the Korean Wall was erected like the Vietnam Wall. And I was able to go to Andalusia, Alabama a few weeks ago and be part of the traveling Vietnam Wall and have Vietnam veterans come on the show and share their experiences, share how it makes them feel to have the support of our people for their service and sacrifice. And I think about the history that is gone with these individuals when they pass away. One of the things that you talked about not too long ago on your page several days ago, special people who have served that maybe don't get the recognition that they should. And it's important that if we miss something in the past, that we can bring it back and let people know about the service and sacrifice of those who may not have been recognized. And one of those is the 6888. Would you share about this all-black, all-female Army unit that served during World War II?
Yes, absolutely. And just for a little context for your listeners, I run a daily history blog. Every weekday, I post a new history story, this day in history. You can find it at TaraRoss.com with all of my, like, all my social media, wherever you want to go find it. But the story that I did a few days ago was about the women of 6888. And they were an all-black, all-female Army unit that was sent overseas. And I think what's remarkable about these women is that they had no idea what they were being sent over there to do. There were more than 800 of them. They went across on this ocean liner, which was apparently kind of a dodgy experience because there were German subs everywhere, and they were all extremely happy to reach dry ground when they got to England. A little bit later, I think it was close to 2 weeks. And but these women, they didn't know what the Army was going to ask of them. You know, I mean, they were not treated as well, unfortunately, at that point in our history as they would have been if they were just white women or white men. But they wanted to serve their country, and they had joined the Army, and they wanted to help. They knew that it was important. So they take off across the ocean, no idea what tasks are going to be given when they get there. And it turns out that when they get there, what is really needed from them, this was towards the end of the war, it was January 1945 when they started off on this, and they get there, and it turns out that there is this immense backlog of mail and packages, like millions and millions and millions and millions of pieces of mail, and our soldiers overseas are, like, their morale is slipping. You know, the war's been going on forever and ever, they can't even get mail, and like, they're not, they just want to hear from their families or whatever. And the Army officers had gotten to this point where they were like, this is something that's really, really important. We need to fix this because we need to help the morale of our men. And so these women are faced literally with warehouses full of these letters to sort and figure out where on earth they go. Now, that might seem like it's sort of easy, but actually it wasn't, because for whatever reason, people at home were addressing mail to, you know, buddy, dear buddy. And you're like, which buddy? I don't know. Or it might just say Robert Smith. Well, there's 50 of them. Which right. one did you mean? And so, and making matters worse, apparently some of the people had tried to ship like homemade cookies and stuff. And so now, you know, rodents were getting into this stuff. I mean, it sounds like a huge mess. They were, and then I guess as if all of that were not bad enough, they're in this warehouse and they have to have the windows all shuttered so that the enemy can't figure out, won't see the lights and figure out that this is a place you might want to bomb. And so anyway, so under the Army thought, you know, 6 months to a year, that's how long it's going to take them to figure this out. They did it in 3 months. And not only did they finish that in 3 months, but then when they were finished there, they went to France and they did another round just like it in France in another 3 months. And then they went home. And then they, of course, they get home and they get, I mean, nobody has any idea that they did this, no idea that they served our country in this way. And most of them, you know, went on with their lives, and that's what that was. They've been getting a little more recognition in recent years. They, with monuments and the Congressional Gold Medal and that sort of thing. But for the most part, during their lifetimes, they never got recognized for it.
And I'm glad that you take the time to recognize these individuals who served, who wanted to serve the country, and were not treated in the best way, as you mentioned, that they should have been. But at the same time, it's a lesson to be learned that when someone serves, when someone from the top to the bottom, if we look at someone and say they deserve our best because they're serving and sacrificing as anyone else is, and make sure that we appreciate each and every individual's service. Even today, there are those who could be neglected for their service and what they do and say, well, because you don't do ABC, then you're not as important as the others. And that really takes away the idea of the plant or the tree that needs every part to survive.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, you could look at any war in our nation's history and you could find stories of these little known heroes that contributed in ways that, and you wonder if it weren't for these women, like what would have happened? You know, one story that springs to mind are, Washington and Concord just happened in the American Revolution, and the Americans had chased the British back into Boston, and they were surrounding them, and they ended up holding them under siege there for nearly a year. But as all those they weren't soldiers, they were militia, really, but militia are coming from all parts of the state in Massachusetts. And there was this woman, and she was like, what can I do to contribute? I want to help. Her husband and son had already gone off to war to go help the people in Boston. Well, she ends up deciding, you know what? There's not that much I can do, but I can cook. And so she ends up getting out cheese and bread, and she sets up a stand on the side of the road, basically, and she gets the neighbor boys to help her carry stuff. And so as all these militia are going by to go help in Boston, she's passing out food, you know, to these hungry men that were going to go help maintain the siege in Boston. But there's just so many of these kinds of little stories throughout our history. And this is the American spirit, right? These are the kinds of stories that we need to know if we want just to remember, and if we want our kids to remember and know, we can be proud of who we are. We've always been a people that perseveres and fights and supports each other. You know, we make mistakes, but then we fix them. You know, Winston Churchill, wasn't he the one that said something to the effect of, you know, Americans, they're going to do everything, like everything but the right thing, right? Like, they'll eventually do the right thing, but they're going to try everything else first. That's what it was. So, I mean, I just think that's, you know, we are a people who, in the end, we always get it right, and we are always working hard and persevering, and there is so much to be said for that.
So true. And as we think about what we're pursuing, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, it was originally, I believe, the pursuit of property, but then it was changed to pursuit of happiness. Let's talk about Declaration of Independence, some thoughts behind this concept of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness as human beings.
Well, you know, I think it's important that it says the pursuit of happiness. It's not that you're guaranteed happiness, right? There's, in America, there's always been a sense of just the theme of personal responsibility, and there's no guarantee of anything, right? You're guaranteed the right to try, and you're guaranteed the right to, like, work hard in any way you can think of. But this idea that there's just handouts, or that you're guaranteed, you know, there's a difference, right? There's a difference between responsibility and pursuing what you want and working hard and achieving it, as versus just some kind of idea of, well, we got to somehow make everybody equitable in some way that seems to be, I don't know, the mindset lately seems to be a little bit more towards the latter. But I think historically we've always been the former, you know, like let's just make sure that everybody has the opportunity to work hard and to achieve what they can with their hard work.
As we start the new school year, there are kids who are going to be sitting in history classes and learning various things. As a historian yourself, what is it that you want young people, what would you like for them to understand as they learn American history?
I mean, to me, the biggest thing is just to understand that we could be so proud of our heritage. That sounds so basic. It's just that nobody wants us to do that anymore. And when I say that, I don't mean we have to put them up on pedestals and, you know, like George Washington was some kind of perfect person or something. He wasn't. Did he do a lot of really admirable things? Did he? Yes, absolutely. Was he a fantastic leader? Yes, absolutely. Would our country have ever gotten off the ground without him? I'm really not sure it would have, you know, but did that make him perfect? No, we don't have to go to that place when we're teaching history and pretend like things were perfect when they weren't. But I do think that it seems lately that there's such an emphasis on only talking about the bad that we never talk about the good. So I probably on my own history page do err towards like, well, I'm going to remind you of all the good because there was so much of it and everybody's already doing a lot of talking about the bad. And a true understanding of history really means that you're balancing the two out and you're understanding both together. It's just that I think that if we look back at our history and we are doing a fair job of balancing both the good and the bad in our presentation, what we're going to understand is that, you know, America was this unique experiment in the world, and it has never been replicated since, not really. And, you know, we have done so much good. Americans have done so much good. We're a nation that we go and help, right? We don't go and conquer and like keep adding on and on and on. You know, when we were victorious in World War II, we didn't say, well, now Japan's a part of America. You know, we helped Japan get back on its feet. And that's what we did, right? So there's so much to be proud of in this country. And I guess if I were teaching American history in the classroom, it would probably be annoyingly patriotic. is probably the answer to your question. But that's what I think this generation needs right now, is just to understand where we came from.
And let's think about equality. And this is not a trick question, Tara. I mean, I know I grew up being bullied and mistreated in school and had some difficult things and challenges I had to face as a young person. And I didn't necessarily feel I was good enough or as good as other people. What about equality? Are we all equal?
Well, we're all equal in the sense that we all have, you know, we're human beings. Our lives are equal. I mean, I'm not sure how to describe this. There's a sense that there's equality that way, right? I mean, I grew up and my dad was unemployed the whole time I was in high school. Did I have a right to demand that that's what it was back then. But, you know, did I have a right to demand anything when it came to his job or anything? I mean, no, not really. So, but did I have equal worth and equal, value as a human being? Absolutely. Did I have an equal right to, when I was old enough to vote and do all those sorts of things? Sure. You know, there's just, I don't know. I guess the idea of equality has gotten really mixed up lately.
Yes.
When we talk about it in society. And I think it's important to remember that, you know, we don't get to demand equal outcomes, whether, you know, we can demand equal treatment as human beings.
One of the things that we can think about, though, when we think about equality, is how we can empower other people. I know that there's this thought of survival of the fittest, but I've thought in my mind, too, that those who are strongest, those who are the survivors, can actually, when they have the strength to do it, to help lift other people up. You know, reach your hand out and give people an opportunity. And I do try to do that through my show, to be a vehicle where people a lot of times feel like they're not being heard, to give them a voice, to give them a chance to have that opportunity to be heard. And maybe that can help lift them up in the process, whatever they're going through. If it's a financial difficulty or maybe an emotional difficulty, something that they feel is missing in their life, and maybe find some way that each one of us who maybe feel like we have the strength to do it, to empower others to do better and be better.
You know, as you were talking, I was thinking maybe the difficulty here is that for some reason in society, we have transferred so many of these responsibilities to help our fellow man. We've transferred them to the government. So that's why, you know, when you talk about guarantees, like the government should never have been in charge of so much of this stuff, right? Who should have been in charge of it are communities and families and churches and synagogues. And when help comes from those locations, it's so much more productive. It's so much more helpful because it's more personal. And you're more likely to actually help somebody in that situation than just some random government handout, right? And I think that the government handouts, you know, they create, I think a lot of the difficulties in that I was encountering earlier in defining some of these things has to do with that decision to transfer so much of this to the government, where it becomes this impersonal thing. But then people start to think, well, I can demand this, or I'm entitled to this, or whatever. Whereas when it was always a community church, family, synagogue kind of a thing, then it was easier. I don't know. It worked better. It just worked better. And it tended to actually bring people up and to actually help them and to meet them where they are so that you can help them to get back on the path that they need to, or whatever it is that they're, whatever it is that's going on with them that they need.
And I've always been more than happy through my show to show those organizations where people are coming together as a community to try to help others and really emphasize the individual at the individual level, the people who are making a difference in that way, because there's so many opportunities to make a difference. And the Mark White Show definitely tries to show the organizations, foundations, groups, families, individuals who are out there working very hard on a daily basis to help encourage those who are feeling like they may not have the right tools or the things necessary to be able to get through some of the challenges that they face.
Right. Look, I mean, I think in this country, it's a little bit like what I was saying about the woman at Lexington and Concord. Everybody has their own set of talents, their own set of things that they can do well. And you find what you can do well and how you can give back to the community, give back to your country. And you know, that's going to look different for everybody. For me, a lot of the time, honestly, it looks like writing, just writing and trying to provide information and stuff. But I know I'm good at that. I know I can dig stuff out and I can provide that and do that. And so that's what I do. For other people, it's going to look different, but I think if all of us just take the skill sets that we have and we are willing to dive in and to give back and give to our country, I mean, again, that all looks so much better than the government impersonal bureaucratic handout.
Yes.
That doesn't really, it just seems to hurt things more than it helps so often.
Tara, again, I want people to know how to connect with you so that they can see your historical blog, if you will, your posts. But I know also that, as you mentioned, social media is shifting and changing. And so it's going to be tough for you and people like myself who like to post words and not so much reels or stories, but
right,
helping you get around that. I'm hoping that maybe right now this is helping too, to help people who follow you and new followers to know how to connect.
Yeah. I mean, so, and you know, when I say this, I'm not ever trying to bash anybody or anything like that. People, every company's just doing their best. I get it. It's fine. But I have been posting these stories on Facebook every day for a really long time. And the emphasis over there has been going to reels or videos and that sort of thing. And that's making it hard to maintain a 600 word daily history story as I've been doing. So I'm kind of moving towards clips on Facebook, and not clips like videos, but like short summaries, and
yes,
and leaving the stories elsewhere. So the long version of the story is on my website, which is TaraRoss.com, under the blog section, or I have a Substack page, which is TaraRoss.substack.com, and that's, that will give you a daily email so that you can get the story in your box or come join the conversation with us there. I mean, I'm trying several of them. We'll see what sticks. I have a MeWe page, but all those links are on my website. So that's probably the easiest way to track down where I am.
But Tara, it's always a pleasure to have you here on the Mark White Show to share your historical perspective. I appreciate you, and you're always welcome here on the Mark White Show.
Thank you so much.
Folks, when we come back, you're going to hear Cora White on Cora's Corner as she reads Freedom Friends by Cameron Marasco. I hope you'll stick with us. You are listening to the Mark White Show, and I'm your host, Mark White.
A little lad, we can make a difference. All we have to do is try. Every day's a chance to change somebody else's life. Let's all do something good today.
Sometimes life brings you a moment you always will remember. Some of nature's most beautiful creations, framed by places we know and cherish. And aren't we in luck that some of life's most memorable scenes are right here at home, all together at Alabama the Beautiful, the group on Facebook, where the eye captures the moment. And it really does last forever.
Be sure to check out alabamathebeautifulmagazine.com.
North Alabama is full of adventure. If you love food, we've got it. If you love festivals, we've got them. If you love the outdoors, we've got plenty of places to explore. Whatever you love, we're sure to have something for you. For all things North Alabama, check out northalabama.org.
Athens Bible School is accredited by Advance Ed, a member of the National Alliance of Concurrent Enrollment Partnerships, and is a satellite campus of Calhoun Community College. For more information, call 256-232-3525. Or visit our website at athensbibleschool.org.
Mr. Cecil Batchelor is the one that started this business as Dependable Service Center. And even though now it's Green's Dependable Hardware and we're a True Value store, our tagline is still Your Dependable Service Center. We've tried to keep that alive for all these years. Mr. Batchelor really started a good business. We're really excited to be carrying on a long-standing tradition. It's the oldest retail store in the city of Russellville. We're Green's Dependable Hardware, 15220A Highway 43 in Russellville, Alabama. We're right behind McDonald's or right across the street from the hospital. Number is 256-331-0123.
The Dependable Service Center.
This is Jacob Johnson from Marble City Pharmacy, and we've got exciting news. An all-new Marble City Pharmacy and Gift Shop is coming soon. That's right, we're getting bigger and better. We will have more space and be adding a drive-thru, and we'll still be in the same great location we are today. While the construction is happening, we'll be moving a few doors down in the same shopping center, Ogletree Plaza. But don't worry, all of our fantastic services will still be available, including in-store pickup, curbside service, and free home delivery. We can't wait for you to see our new pharmacy and gift shop. Thank you for making Marble City Pharmacy Coosa Valley's best.
This is Nico Johnson from Andalusia, Alabama, assistant football coach at University of Texas. Be where your feet are. You listen to The Mark White Show.
Is it time for a haircut? Give my friend Philip Butler at Southwind Barbershop a call, located in Rogersville, Alabama. You can call him at 256-247-5658. Make an appointment or just walk in. That's Southwind Barbershop in Rogersville, Alabama. Thompson Roofing and Construction is a locally owned family business serving the North Alabama and Southern Tennessee area. They are a Better Business Bureau A-plus member since 2011 and a GAF Master Elite Contractor. Give them a call at 256-952-3309 or check them out on the web at 256roofing.com. They offer free inspections.
Thompson Roofing and Construction.
Hey, y'all, you're listening to The Mark White Show, and y'all, it's going to be good today.
This is William Lee Golden with the Oak Ridge Boys. I want you to stay tuned for Chorus Corner coming up next right here on The Mark White Show.
Thank God for kids.
It's never too early to save for college.
Contact Brad Wallace, your Edward Jones financial advisor, on Hughes Road in Madison, Alabama. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC. Welcome to another episode of Cora's Corner with Cora White. Today, Cora will be reading Freedom Friends, written by Cameron Marasco and illustrated by Sasha Bettler. And now, here's Cora White.
Freedom Friends. A group of kids were very good friends. They were inseparable through each school day's end. They stood for the Pledge of Allegiance and prayer, and they stood for each other always with care. Faith, Gracie, Ben, Thomas, George, and Hope. Then one fine morning, as the school day began, their teacher, Miss Dixon, said, "I'm a big fan of American history, the proud and the true, the brave men and women of the red, white, and blue. God created us equal with unalienable rights. He gave us free will to fight." All the kids laughed, then Ben raised his hand. "Does that mean we're aliens who live on this land?" Miss Dixon then smiled, as most teachers do. "No, it means that those rights can't be taken from you. Our American leaders are voted upon to protect these rights and the land that we're on." The kids began to think of all they've been told. What are these rights we've been given to hold?
Ms. Dixon then answered, "What wonderful questions." There are three main rights Thomas Jefferson mentions. They are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. He wrote in the Declaration of Independence, "To live your life free, chase your dreams as you please, and to be able to choose any path as it leads." To read the rest of Freedom Friends, go to freedomfriendsusa.com.
You have been listening to another episode of Cora's Corner. You can listen to Cora's Corner every Saturday at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time here on The Mark White Show. Here on The Mark White Show, we're recognizing difference makers and sharing their stories to encourage and inspire. And I hope that you will share the show with your friends, your family, and your neighbors, and let them know about The Mark White Show and what we're doing to make a difference in our communities around the country and the world. I want you to follow The Mark White Show on Facebook and Instagram and subscribe to The Mark White Show podcast wherever you get your podcast. You have been listening to another edition of The Mark White Show, and this is Mark White.
And Cora White.
Encouraging you
to find your purpose
by making a difference
in someone's life
today.
Who live and love in my hometown. These are my kind of people.